Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show from 2017, comedians Jimmy Pardo and Nick Griffin. They're coming up right after this.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Mr. Obvious Show. Of course, I am your host, Mr. Obvious. Let's go right to the phones, and good morning, Mr. Obvious Show.
Hello, is this Mr. Obvious?
Speaking.
Hi, Mr. Obvious, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hi, listen, the reason I was calling, I live here in the Midwest, and as you know, we've recently received a whole lot of snow.
Oh, boy, we got socked in, didn't we?
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
I figured now is the time, and I went ahead and made that big jump. I invested in a snow blower. I swear, Mr. Obvious, this thing's more work than just shoveling the drive by hand.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, for one thing, the whole thing is kind of heavy and, you know, hard to push around, and it just seems like it'd be easier to use a snow shovel. I just don't understand the popularity of these things.
Well, now, some of these machines are, self-propelled.
I guess mine is. I mean, I've been propelling it and everything.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, now, maybe you need to upgrade a little bit on your power. What size engine you got on that one?
Well, no, as I said before, I got a top-of-the-line model. I mean, this thing's got a big old engine on it. I mean, it's heavy as anything.
Huh. Well, now, maybe the azimuth on the snowblower, you're not throwing the snow high enough. It's not getting it out of your way fast enough.
Maybe Mr. Obvious, I'm throwing it as far as I can. I mean, it's, you know, it must be going 6 or 8 feet, you know, straight off into the yard. And I'm worn out before I clear a few feet of the driveway.
What kind of oil are you putting in there?
Oil?
Yeah, oil. What kind of oil are you putting into the old engine there?
I mean, I haven't put any new oil in there, just whatever was in there when I bought it.
Oh, well, that might be your problem. When you start the engine, see, to run the snowblower, and it makes that noise from the engine.
Mr. Obvious, you back up there a minute. What was that part about starting the engine up?
Well, you start the engine, of course, and you blow the snow out, and then, of course, you...
You mean the snowblower does that automatically, then?
Well, yeah, it's a snow blower. There's an engine, and it sucks the snow in and throws it out of your way, and it's kind of like a lawnmower, but for snow. See, it's got an engine on it.
Wow, that'd be really convenient.
Are you trying to tell me that you bought this top-of-the-line snow blower and you didn't realize the engine ran?
Well, a lot of times I don't look at the manual. That's sure. A great idea, though, starting it up, you say.
Yeah, start that baby up, and it'll throw the snow out of it. So you've been dragging this snowblower up and down the driveway.
Well, yeah, the tough part, though, is scooping it up in there and then throwing it out over my shoulder.
Sure, that's going to be...
Mr. Obvious, my back is killing.
I bet it is. Well,
Mr. Obvious?
Yeah.
I'm going to go try that engine suggestion right now.
Okay.
Mr. Obvious?
Yes.
You're a lifesaver.
Well, thank you very much. And that's all the time we have on today's Mr. Obvious Show. Thank you very much.
Miss something? Here you go. We'll try to catch you up. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
Now, we made a mistake on the show today. We forgot
did?
That Jimmy Pardo is the pretty much the ultimate player of what we like to call air bass.
I do. I just bought my Kiss air bass strings.
Did you?
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Well, look at it.
There we go.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of visual, certainly. Like you're having some kind of a
what's up?
Some kind of a mental break.
I played up like Stanley Clark. I played like Jocko.
Oh, yeah,
I
play like a, it's I play much it more of a jazz. No, I'm not mocking you. I just was surprised. I was
up high like a gentleman.
Yeah,
you're down here. You're Jack Blades and Night Ranger. Pass up here like a gentleman.
Yes, there you go.
Like a gentleman.
Hard pass.
Like a gentleman.
Jack Blades, don't be.
Jack Blades, a
nice
good bassist
guy.
Who needs to raise his bass.
Really nice
he
guy.
Plays it around his knees.
That's
like
Dee Dee played it way down low too.
Who did?
Dee Dee Ramone.
Right, Pat. Really, do we talk about their bass play, the Ramones?
It's a look.
No, no one does.
Does everybody go, oh, you like the Ramones? Oh, they're bassist. Never. Bring it up. Get that slap going.
Never happens.
Would you like a different song? We could dig something else up for you.
Do you have a favorite bass song?
Well, that's it. That's
when
my
you're
favorite.
Doing air bass on stage at karaoke bass night.
It's always this that I bring the house down. Nobody's expecting to hear Redbone.
No.
This all started on your show. Remember what Redbone had...
It was Guardians of the Galaxy that that song really came back in.
Yeah. But we were doing it on this show years before
That's
and I will not stand for Chris
Pratt.
To get more credit with his firm thighs and gorgeous face.
That is a good song, though.
It's a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Remember why they came up? That there was a fake Redbone band going around claiming to be Redbone?
Huh.
And then Redbone had to issue a press release saying, that's not us. It's like, why is somebody ripping off Redbone?
Well, because no one knows who they are, so they can get away with it.
Get away with it.
Never heard of them.
I mean, that's what they're doing with Foreigner. How many of those guys can you pick?
I saw Foreigner at the Hollywood Bowl.
I don't think anyone would know anyone in that band except for the lead singer who's not going out with them.
Kelly Hansen's the lead singer now. I went to see him at the Hollywood Bowl, and I want you to guess how many original members of Foreigner were on that stage.
Zero.
Zero.
They were literally foreigners to the band.
Yes. They were literally a cover band at the Hollywood Bowl.
Who's the guy that runs the band?
Lou Graham, Mick Jones.
No, Mick Jones.
Oh, Mick Jones.
Mick
was
Jones
sick.
Is the guy from the band.
Wow. So Mick Jones is the one
everything.
Guy that's usually in the band, but Mick Jones was sick that night, so they had this guy who tours along with them just in case Mick gets sick. And apparently I'm Nipsey Russell. And hello.
Mick gets sick. The other guitarist has to do the licks.
So it's sort of like seeing one of those Beatle cover bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's Foreigner.
But they sell it as Foreigner, and you pay the price like it's a Foreigner.
Yes.
But I mean, they've had like 400 guys in the band, right?
Chicago's getting close to that too, where they have there's just three original members now in Chicago, and. But they're all great. By the way, Chicago's better than ever, so I'm not putting them down. It's just, it's not the original guys.
That's our art director, huge.
Did Redbone, are they still out there?
I think the originals came back. They said, hey, we gotta ride this wave of pub.
That happened to Fleetwood Mac just before they really blew up. There was a different Fleetwood Mac out there without Mick Fleetwood.
Really?
And
wait a minute,
back during
77?
Yeah.
Really?
Just before, there were two of them out there, and they had to the lawyer and go
after. Not the bluesy one. But
Peter Green's?
Yeah, not the Peter.
Bob Wells.
Bob
Wells.
There was two of them at the same time. That'd be kind of a cool reality
Bob
show.
Bob Wells always hung.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
I will always have a complicated relationship with this game, but people evolve. So do sports. Do not make me regret this. Do not make me devolve back to that guy that so many clones wish that I still was. And do not embarrass the entire country. Now, I can go back. I can get there fast. Lose tonight, and you got a real problem. Do not blow it.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
You've been warned.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
What was your first favorite song ever?
Oh, that's a great question.
And I'll start mine by Rockford Files, believe it or not. It was the first single I ever bought,
song.
The 45.
What?
My first song. Yeah. No words.
That's the organ.
Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, I love you. Don't tell that to anyone else. Okay?
I just told it to millions.
Mine was Black and White by Three Dog Night. That was my first 45.
Mine was a Three Dog Night. Mama told me not to come.
Mama told me.
That organ, man.
That's... Open up the window, let some air into this room.
Not to get the room a little bit hipper, but as I like to do.
Okay.
Your first 45?
My first song. This is the first song I ever bought. I bought it at. I bought it at Woolworths at the Van Aken Center, and.
I like this song.
Here it is.
Sugar,
by the
arches. My first single I ever purchased, the Archie Sugar Sugar.
Oh,
suck.
But I had a whole bunch of 45s. It wasn't fair because the guy across the street from me was a morning DJ, so he would give me all the 45s. But the first one I purchased So I had a lot of music early.
Now, I had an interesting story. I met someone this summer. I was at an event, and we got talking, and we both had kids. We were talking about our children's names, and they have a son named Rivington. And I said, did you name him after the band that did Papa Ooma Ma?
Is that who does this song?
And they said, sure, please leave us alone.
Never heard of that song.
And they had not heard of the band.
What?
They had it?
They hadn't heard
How
of it?
How dare they?
That's weird.
So what was your first grown-up album? I remember the very first grown-up album I bought. Deep Purple Machine Head. That was the turning point for
me. Mine was Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
Oh, you're a child.
You are a child.
Mine was Styx Grand Illusion.
That's a good one.
One that
Mine was the Cars' first album.
That's a good one.
Steppenwolf Greatest Hits.
Boy, was that the 45? That joke's never funny.
The Pusher Man.
I hate when people make that joke. Whoa, what's that one song? I put a gun in your mouth. I swear.
I shoot him if he runs.
The Pusher Man.
The
first album I ever bought was The Doors.
Very nice.
That's a great album. Boy, you love or hate The Doors, huh? I mean, it's like... I love them, but if you people hate them...
Trick, you want to step in here?
What, who? What? I was
paying attention. The Doors, you got thoughts?
I never liked The Doors. I don't think Jim Morris can sing. I'm trying to sing.
Tom loves The Doors.
That was your Bob Welch impression.
I like the fact
that... Sentimental lady?
I like the fact that you can be so wrong and really have a lot of confidence.
No, you know what? I'm not wrong or right. That's my opinion, and I'm okay if I never hear another Doors song again.
Music
is
like comedy. You know, everybody has a personal style.
That's right. Mm,
okay, I guess.
Not everybody appeals to everybody.
The Rivingtons.
That opening to Riders on the Storm, that does nothing for you, Chick?
Nope, nothing.
Really?
I love People Are Strange.
Me too.
Me too.
Yeah, People Are Strange.
Okay, well, wait a minute. I kind of like the music to Peace Frog. That's okay, but...
What about L.A. Woman?
L.A. Woman, that's
Then he comes
terrific.
In and urinates on the...
Urinates on it?
Is it Roadhouse Blue?
Great song.
I love that song.
Yeah, you know, I...
That's L.A. Woman. That's not Roadhouse Blue.
How about the end? How's the end sound, Chick?
So at the beginning of Apocalypse Now, do you put it on mute? So you don't hear this is
the end?
That's the end.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with it. Was it? They just celebrated.
No, there's no
argument,
Tom. There's no argument. It's my opinion.
They just celebrated what was the 40th anniversary of the release of the Doors album? That what it was?
Yeah,
very nice, friend. In case you're wondering more about the Rivingtons,
not really.
No one in this room is interested.
No one cares about them but you.
People are getting out of their cars. They're that disinterested,
and their cars are still running on the highway.
They're jumping off the bridge.
They're setting their hair on fire and then combing it out.
Anything but to hear more about the Rivingtons. I want to hear about the kid more than the band.
Can you do the air bass to the Rivingtons?
I don't know. I've never tried.
No.
I know he can. I know he can.
I don't think there's any bass in
there. There it is. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. A little run there. If you're doing air bass...
Man, does that suck.
This is a little bit obscure.
You're talking about
you,
the song.
The song. You are amazing.
Here's something Thank obscure. You. One of you may get this. You mentioned the song Roadhouse Blues. It's on the album Wars. No, that's
L.A. Woman.
That's L.A. Woman.
Whatever.
So, if look, your invalid criticism would be slightly better if you were even close to the album.
It's not a criticism. I don't
to get back
like
to my question... The Doors famously and sadly never had an official bass player, but that's, by the way, the reason L.A. Woman is so good is they actually had a bass player and a rhythm guitar.
Can you name the bassist on that song, sir? If you can, I'll give you all the money in my pocket.
On Roadhouse Blues?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Lonnie Mack, the famous guitarist who had never played a bass guitar in his life.
I should tell you this. That's not the answer I was looking for. So I will not give you the money.
Sorry.
I may not hold up to my end of the bargain.
That's the correct answer.
Yes. I was going with the touring band.
Jerry Sheff.
I was looking for Jerry
Sheff. And Doug Lubom played the occasional bass on Doors albums.
Okay.
But it was Lonnie Mack. And
damn it.
The reason the bass is so cool on this is because Lonnie Mack had never played a bass guitar.
I didn't know that.
Do you know who's playing harmonica?
I'm going to go with Jerry Sheff again.
No.
I'm going to insist Jerry Sheff for
every... Jim.
No.
Bob Dylan.
Nope.
Give us the initials. I know that you hate that game.
J.S.
J.S. I got to go with Jerry Sheff.
No.
John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Very close.
That's a great
Jerry
guess.
Seinfeld.
It's, Seinfeld's another great guest.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jessica Simpson.
The, originally uncredited, it's the great John Sebastian who's been a guest on this show.
Great show. We welcome him back, don't we, Jerry?
The pinnacle of mediocrity, John Sebastian.
Oh my God!
Are you out of your mind?
No, it's my opinion. I have my opinion,
And I'm so glad you can be confident to be this wrong at the same time.
There's no right or wrong.
You don't like this? There is 11 Spoonful tune.
Nope.
Hot Town Summer in the City.
Yeah, back of your neck, dirt, grit.
Hot Town Summer in the City.
Now I will admit, when I hear the song "Welcome Back, Cotter,"
I
love it.
I have it on a CD called Suddenly
70s, and it's terrific.
Welcome Back.
Good tune. By the way, John Sebastian's name came up at a poker game one night, and it ruined the game.
Much like this show.
Some people thought that he had died, and then it was just before the internet, and we had to then leave the game and somehow go to a late night bookstore and find out if John Sebastian. Like, it was a big argument because money was on the line. My father was in visiting. He insisted he was alive. Comedian Chip Chinnery insisted he was dead. My dad and Chip Chinnery are betting hundreds of dollars over if John Sebastian was alive. Oh, he's alive.
He's alive.
Well,
he's
still alive.
My dad won.
I didn't know.
Supremely gifted guy. He's great. But he's playing the harmonica on that Doors song. It's kind of an obscure trivia fact. And for the rest of us that enjoy the Doors, unlike Chick.
Okay. Who enjoys the Doors in the studio? Everybody but me?
I do like the Doors.
Some songs, yeah.
I'm not a big fan.
You know, you don't like the leather pants.
I don't dislike them, but I've never.
You're indifferent?
I didn't own a Doors album growing up.
You were too busy with Sugar.
No, that was when I was
younger.
That's
a good song, too.
That was a 45. I grew up in 75 or 6 and bought Deep Purple Machine Head whenever that came out.
You look up mediocrity in the dictionary. There's a picture of the
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes.
They are.
The Archies?
No, Deep Purple.
Didn't
they just did last year.
Last year.
Which I was at, by the way. Loved it. Went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame show. Yeah, got to cover it for the AV Club.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
And we're hanging out backstage.
Who'd you meet?
Chicago and Deep Purple. And Steve Miller went past with Chief Full of Anger. Chief Trick was there. Yeah. Wow. It was great.
Did you get to interview them?
We interviewed everybody. We interviewed all of them. And my buddy Pat Francis and I. And then reported back for the AV Club. And it's amazing. You go to that, and everybody there, it's all these rock and roll reporters that are joyless. They had no fun, and Pat and I are running around like idiots and talking to the band, and they couldn't believe two people cared, and so they're all giving great answers, and it was fun.
We were talking about Lonnie Mack, the great guitarist, who famously picked up a bass for the first time and played that. He sadly died a while back, and I can remember one of the things he said, referring to the contemporary music scene. He said, "The only thing that I ever sampled was my mama's cooking." They actually played their instruments, probably foreign to you.
Crabby old man who hates technology. Yes.
Is Cheap Trick from Rockford?
Rockford, Illinois. Yes,
Rockford,
sir.
Rockford, Illinois. I lost Cheap Trick in a divorce. Did I ever tell you that?
Hot Town, summer in the city. Back of my neck, getting dirty and gritty.
You don't like that? No?
I like that song.
Chick was wincing.
Pass.
That's a good song.
That's a great
Chick
song.
Chick McGee.
How about this one, Chick? You like this one, don't you?
Yeah, this. Look at this.
The only thing about this is Jimmy's air bass.
Are you going to participate? Come on, you can't help it.
Hey!
See?
Come on, Nick.
They're American Indians, these guys.
We should do a compilation.
First Native American Indian with a number one hit.
We should do a compilation of things that was less than mildly racist. We should do a compilation of incomprehensible lyrics.
No, because we'd be here all day.
Because Louie would be
those are incomprehensible.
The only reason I know
that one
is because we looked them up the last time you were here.
You don't understand the lyrics to L.A. Woman?
I don't
LA
care.
L.A. Woman, that's how...
She was in a Hollywood bungalow. Do you know what a bungalow is?
Well, of course he knows what a bungalow is.
What's a bungalow?
I'm not clear on words.
What's a bungalow? Smart guy.
You mean like the BJ bungalow?
What is a bungalow?
In real conversation.
What type of home is a bungalow?
What is a bungalow?
I don't know.
And can I get the address to the BJ bungalow, please?
Well, you know, the third of them boys is at the BJ bungalow.
I think a bungalow, it's like a house where the upstairs is a... like the roof is the ceiling.
Well, that's
what?
Yeah, like it's two stories.
Is it hang on.
Oftentimes, roof.
It's a two. Here
is
in other words,
here's
like
the official definition.
A two. Let me finish. It's a two-story with a dormer where that upstairs room is a the ceiling is the roof, right?
Is it an attic? Or is it
but it's a two-story.
This is one of those things where don't even try.
I thought a bungalow was just a two-bedroom, one-bath, small little house.
Here's the Webster's definition.
It has bung in it.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow.
That's true.
When you know what you call it.
Bungalow is Latin.
When you dig the basement.
It means house of bung. That's right. A one-story.
By the way, I saw House of Bung open for the door.
Oh, boy. That was a show. That was a tour. That was a tour.
Those guys, until they lost Eric, yeah, they were good.
A one-storied house with a low-pitched roof. Also, a house having 1.5 stories and usually a front porch. That's the definition.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that would mean I'm right.
Yes, Tom, you're right. I guess.
What? Really, it doesn't sound like anything you described.
That doesn't sound like anything he
said. A bungalow, I think.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I, Megan Klingenberg, a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.